Monsters fans, to another edition of the Monsters I View podcast. We're so excited to be back with you and talking the first place Cleveland Monsters. As always, Tony Brown here with you alongside my co-host, Kaylee Lane. And Kaylee, we got a big show coming up here. As always, we're going to have our talking points in just a minute. We'll go see what's on the docket with the Monsters coming up, and also Kaylee's questions is coming up a little bit later too. But in our warm-up to start, we've got a whole lot to go over here. So, you know, how you feeling after a week on the road for the Monsters? Pretty quiet around the office.
Yeah, everything's been a bit quiet, but I'm just really happy that we're going to be back at home this week, Thursday and Friday. I think just with how quick-paced our games have been, just back-to-back-to-back-to-back with minimal breaks, I think it was really important for the guys this week to just have a moment to breathe and practice on home ice, as you might be able to hear behind us, which is really nice, but just kind of reset themselves, and it'll be really nice before their big road trip again next week. They're gone for 3 or 4 days, I believe.
Yep.
Which is really nice. So I'm really excited to see how they perform this week, getting off of the road and actually having some time at home to take a deep breath.
Yeah, now it sounds a little counterintuitive, but I think it's good to go through some tough, you know, trips early in the season. It sort of binds everyone together, and it reminds you that in this league, even if you're in first place and you've been playing well, any team can beat you on a given night.
For
the Monsters definitely endured a tough loss prior to that road trip against Utica, coming back on them in the third period at home. And so that led into what was a really big game, I thought. On Wednesday, the 6th of December, they were in Hartford. And really the first, I mean, it wasn't the first ever meeting between the Monsters and Wolfpack, but the first since like 2009 or something like that.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool to get a taste of a new city and a new team. And the Monsters played well. Remember, Hartford, one of the real contenders in the Eastern Conference, second place in the conference coming into that game. But strong showing for Cleveland. They got an overtime win. Let's hear Luca Delbel-Beluzzi's game winner in overtime.
Delbel-Beluzzi, though, gets the puck back, retreats to center, leaves it for Smozo. He'll spin it ahead of Sillinger, who skates into it. Offhand right wing entry for Owen Sillinger. Leaves it. Delbel-Beluzzi all alone to the net. Cutsy scores! Luca Delbel-Beluzzi wins it in overtime for Cleveland. A 4-3 final. And the Monsters back on the schneid. They beat Hartford for the first time in franchise history.
So that was a nice moment for sure, but some big performances in that game, Kaylee. You had Owen Sillinger with 3 assists in that one. And really, for the Monsters, that's kind of a big win, you know, something to hang their hat on at the start of that trip over a quality team.
Yeah, and it was really nice to see, because Carson Meyer just came out of nowhere that game. He ended up scoring 2 goals, and then obviously Delbel pulled it off in the OT with winner. But it was just seeing his style of play, and Carson Meyer has really shown himself this year, and I'm pretty sure at this point he's leading the team in penalty minutes, which is shocking to me.
And in goals, too. So that shows you, that kind of speaks to the type of player he is and the way that he has to play to have success. Like Vokes talks about that a lot with him. It's the games when he's physically engaged off the top of the game that you know he's going to have a big offensive performance. The Hartford game was certainly one of those. And let's not discount the fact that the Monsters are without a couple of pieces in their leadership group, with Josh Dunn out due to injury here. So there's just an expanded role here for a guy like Carson Meyer, sort of tangibly and intangibly. And yeah, that was a game in which he really kind of stepped to the fore. So that was a nice win for Cleveland for sure. Moving on, though, from there, the Monsters headed to Wilkes-Barre. And for whatever reason, Kaylee, I don't know, the Penguins are always a tough out for the Monsters these last few years, especially in Northeast Pennsylvania. And this game was kind of a strange one. Low scoring until the end of the game, then super high scoring, but a loss to the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. But one guy who played great, Roman Achan. Now, he had 2 goals in that game, and since he's come back up from ECHL Cincinnati, he's playing like a man possessed.
Yeah, and it was really nice. I bet down there he just kind of, I know last year he played every single game here but one. I looked at it at the end of the season, and I think being down there kind of, it's kind of like a reality check, and just like, all right, like I need to get on my feet and get myself back up there. So I'm really glad that once he came back and started getting in the lineup, he's really proving himself and proving that he's worthy of being in the lineup.
Yeah, and speaking of Roman Achan, let's take a listen now to his shorthanded goal that came like 2 minutes into the first period of what turned out to be a 5-3 loss in Wilkes-Barre on Friday, December the 8th. This was a real sort of spark plug type play.
Clears the distance, and now after it, Roman Ashan takes it away from the goaltender. Hellberg, he scores! Ashan from below the goal line gets it through. Hellberg banks it in, and what a spark to start from Roman Ashan as the Monsters lead it 1-0. It's a short-handed goal.
So that was cool. I mean, we talked about Roman, but really it's the entire fourth line. Jake Gaudette, Roman, Justin Pearson, Cameron Butler, too, has sort of been in that mix of guys that have played with all those players I just listed. But they're kind of, to hear Vogts tell it, especially prior to that game in Hershey, the fourth line's leading the way offensively, and the rest of the forward lines, in his words, can take a page out of the fourth line's book just in terms of being in control of the one thing they can control, which is being the hardest working guys on the ice at a given time.
It's really nice also because we have what Tease calls the kid line. Yep. Which I love, my personal favorite, which is James Malatesta, Hunter McCown, and Luca Del Belbelouz. And just when they hit the ice, I kind of take a step back. I know a couple weeks ago we talked about that first line where we had Bemstrom and Johnson, who are now up with Columbus. But that kid line, all those rookies just banding together, they're a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah. Luke is playing great, and he's getting a chance here with Josh Dunn out of the lineup to also play at his natural position, which is down the middle at center, and sort of seeing him thrive in that situation. I'm sure it's a comfortable place to be in the lineup for him. Moving on, unfortunately, we have to talk about the 6-0 loss in Hershey. We're going to breeze through that really fast. Hershey looks really good. They're the defending champions. They're the defending champs for a reason. They have a great coach in Todd Nelson. They're a super deep team, great size, great physicality. And really, on a night when you give up 3 power play goals in the first half of the game to fall behind 3-0, it's going to be uphill no matter who you're playing. And the Bears just know how to slam the door. They limited the Monsters to 21 shots on net. They now lead the league in both goals allowed per game, so the fewest, and they also limit shots better than anybody else in the league, too. So they're just a smothering defensive team that can also score. So in other words, they look pretty good.
Yeah, they do. And last year was the same exact thing. They were always just kind of throughout the entire season, always in that top spot. And they just rode the wave the whole way.
Yep. So the Monsters, unfortunately, are going to see Hershey 2 more times in the regular season, but that's not till March, so we don't have to think about the Bears for
a while. We can take a deep breath for a minute.
So the road trip ends up, though, with the Monsters going 1-2-0 in 3 games in their little swing through the Atlantic Division here. So if we take a look at the standings in the North Division, Kaylee, one thing that's really positive for me is that despite a couple of losses there, the Monsters still in first place, 1 point ahead of Syracuse as it stands now. Cleveland at 14-7, 1-0. The Crunch at 13-7, 0-2. But behind those two teams, you've got everybody else with the exception of Laval in the division there with either 24 or 23 points. So put another way, first place and sixth place in the division separated by 6 standings points. So as is the case every year in the American League, it's tough to see
who's
the
real
contender right now.
I remember last year it came down to probably the second to last game, and we're all sitting there and everybody was fighting for that fourth place spot. And it's always a nice division to see. And as my second season has progressed and we're a decent chunk of the way through, it's the same. You've been here for how many seasons now?
Several.
Yeah, several seasons. And I'm sure that you've definitely seen this league the entire time probably be so tight. And it's interesting to see my progression as last year being my first season to this year. I'm like, wow, this doesn't change.
Yep. It's so many teams deal with so many different factors. One of them is guys getting called up and the needs of the parent club. That's paramount in this league, of course. So we're a little over time on our warm-up segment here, Kaylee, but let's quickly look at some of the recent transactions, and then we'll move on to our talking points in just a minute here. But the Monsters with Daniil Tarasov, who played great on his conditioning loan, he got called back up on the 10th, so that was a couple of days back here in December. But before him, Emil Bemstrom called up on December the 6th, as were Nick Blankenberg and Jett Greaves. And we'll talk about Jett in our next segment, his amazing most recent NHL recall. But those are some key guys. And that goes hand in hand with Kent Johnson being called up at the end of November. So guys that were super productive like Bemstrom, like Johnson, Blankenberg, who's been so meaningful to this team. Those are some major losses for the Monsters here in the short term. Now, will those guys be back? Who knows? The point is, the Monsters know that no one's going to feel sorry for them when you lose key guys. That's the name of the game in this league.
It's interesting to see them adjust, because just with the loss of Johnson and Bemstrom up on that first line with Pucha, it's just we got to fill those gaps, and we got to just make sure we are spread as best as we can to have the most solid line going out on the ice and attacking the net. But like you said, it's the name of the game. It's something that just even myself, I'm like, oh, darn. Like, I wish they were still here, but at the end of the day, it's the game.
Fans have to get used to that sort of thing happening in this league, and so do all of us. It's a fact of life. As Trent likes to say, the AHL is the land of opportunity. So when guys get called up, other guys get to fill in, and we're seeing that with guys like Roman Ashan and Jake Gaudette, who were in the ECHL a couple of weeks ago. All right, time for a quick break on the Monsters Eye View podcast, but when we come back, we've got our talking point segment, and we will be talking about Jet Greaves and his ascension here to the NHL and some NHL history made by him in his most recent call-up to the Jackets. That and more coming right up with Kaylee Lane. I'm Tony Brown. You're listening to the Monsters Eye View podcast. All right, welcome back, everyone, on the Monsters Eye View podcast. Time for our talking points today. And, Kaylee, there's one guy on my mind right now, and I think he's on a lot of folks' mind, not just in Northeast Ohio, but down in Central Ohio, too. I'm talking, of course, about Jet Greaves. Now, I would be hard-pressed to come up with a guy that's meant more to the Monsters the last couple of years than Jet has. He's a great story. During the pandemic, he sat out an entire season when he was in the junior ranks with Barry in the OHL. But since then, having this opportunity with the Monsters, he's now played his way into an opportunity with the Blue Jackets. And in his most recent call-up, he checked a couple of big boxes off his bucket list here, Kaylee. Not only did he get his first home appearance in the NHL, because he made one appearance for the Jackets last year in Toronto, which is the area that he's from, so that was cool, but even cooler to come to Nationwide Arena, I'd imagine, and get the support of the fans. So he gets a win in that game, his first on the 8th of December there against St. Louis, made 43 saves, and then followed it up with a 33-save performance a couple of days later in the matinee against Florida. So in his first three appearances, going back to last year, he's got 119 saves, tied for the most ever over your first three appearances in NHL history. He's making an impression.
That's unbelievable. And the fact that he is 22 years old, having an NHL record at 22 years old, Check that off your bucket list. It's unbelievable to see how hot he is. And especially being down here, I think it's kind of given him the chance to have like a leadership role. He's been very influential to Pavel, and the two of them together, it's just really nice to see Jet kind of take charge and say, you know what, like, let's do this together. And just even from last year to this year, he has come out of his shell so much.
He has, totally. And, the numbers sort of bear that out. So right now with 9 wins at the American League level this year, he's top 5 in the league in that category in 12 appearances. He was truly like the number one guy to start the year, and I think that is a role he loves to play, he wants to play. Pavel Chayan, of course, has played great. And let's take a second to acknowledge Daniil Tarasov, too. It's tough when you're coming off a long layoff like he was, especially with the nature of his injury. But I thought he was really impressive in these few games on the road trip on his conditioning loan from the Blue Jackets to Cleveland. He's since gone back. But I loved what we saw from Terry, and with the Jackets carrying 3 goalies here, hopefully he gets a shot in some NHL games too.
He was really solid when he was down here, and we actually interviewed him after one of the games, and we're just checking in because it was his first game back just from such a long gap, and we're like, how do you feel? And his one thing that he was very adamant that really helped him was our fans. Yeah. He was like, these fans in this building, he said it felt like they had an extra skater on the ice. And I can't even imagine going from our very massive fan base and crowds of over 10,000 people to then hopping up to Nationwide Arena and just kind of seeing that. I mean, yeah, there's a little bit of a difference, but at the same time, those fan bases are so strong, and They really, really carry these guys through the game, and which is really nice for Jet getting his first home win in Nationwide Arena. Like you said, the fans, that is so influential to them.
Yeah, it really is. It creates the environment that these guys sort of thrive on and use to their advantage as fuel throughout the game. So we talk about it all the time. Here in Cleveland, these guys are spoiled rotten, and it's the same thing down the way in Columbus. So great stuff there. As we talk about the goalies, whether it's Jet, whether it's Pav, whether it's Daniil Tarasov or anybody else, I think the Monsters in good hands in the goal crease this year. And that is always such an important part of success in this league and in every league. All right, that's it for our talking points. Another quick break on the other side. We'll see what's coming up for the Monsters. They've got a big homestand against Belleville with some key promotions just around the corner. We'll talk about it. Plus, Kaylee's got her Kaylee's Question segment, too. So stay with us. It's the Monsters iView Podcast. Back to the Monsters iView Podcast with Kaylee Lane, Tony Brown here with you. We've got a whole lot of great stuff still ahead. Want to remind you to listen and subscribe to the Monsters iView Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Make us a part of your routine here throughout the season. All right, time to look at what's on the docket, Kaylee, and we've got some big games coming up here. We'll start with Thursday, December the 14th, just a couple of days from now. I'm just happy it's a home game.
I mean, that, I am too. It's a long I've been road missing trip. Them.
When you leave on Tuesday, you come back after the game Saturday. That's a long trip, you know.
Yeah, and especially so, you're always on the road with them.
Yeah, yeah. So I just mean for the guys, too. It's going to be nice to play some games at home here. So Thursday the 14th at 7 against the Belleville Senators, a team that the Monsters have had some success against, although some tight games. Belleville's kind of a rugged team. So I'm looking forward to seeing them after a couple of weeks have gone by since our last meeting. It'll be Pickle in the Land night and also a Blue Jackets night, so those Blue Jackets alternate uniforms will be on display. Pickle in the Land, though, is a cool event that's happening with, 300-some pickleball courts in the convention center. So we'll be talking pickleball here. Do you ever play pickleball?
No, I've wanted to try it, but I just haven't gotten around to it. Have you ever played?
I feel like we played it before this became popular, like in gym class growing up.
Really?
I swear we used to play pickleball. But it's great. It's become a phenomenon. Jaw Calendar's on the bandwagon.
So you're a trendsetter is what you're telling me.
Yeah, not me. Maybe the gym teacher like 25 years ago. All right. Well, that's Pickle in the Land coming up Thursday, December the 14th against Belleville. But the next night, one of the signature nights each and every season. Teddy Bear Toss is coming up on a 1-2-3 Friday. Friday, December the 15th at 7, also against Belleville. What can you say about the Teddy Bear Toss? A uniquely sort of hockey development here in the promotional landscape of minor league sports. And it's become iconic. Wherever you go, teams do a great job, fans do a great job, and the Monsters always have an amazing amount of toys at the end of this event to donate to kids in the holiday season.
I'll be completely honest with you. My favorite moment from last year, my first Teddy Bear Toss, was actually you. You you That's were right. up, and you had this awesome teddy bear, and you went to throw it, and it was tangled up in your cords,
that
and your
terrible.
Papers went absolutely flying. And honestly, I have replayed that video so many times because I was in the press box when everybody started tossing, but seeing that video was definitely my favorite thing.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me of that, Kaylee. That was horrifying. And I lost, I have two fears in life in the broadcast booth. One is that something will happen to my glasses and I won't be able to see what's going on. The other is that I would lose my folder, which I have all this information I compile in. I rely on that throughout the game. And sure enough, oh boy, it went flying.
Yep.
So did everything else. The production staff has that clip keyed up for our telecast on Friday. I'm sure that they'll put in the super slow-mo and we can break it down. But I know now you got to get out of the way of the cord. It's a whole thing. But I love the Teddy Bear Toss.
It
it's just
so fun.
And fans really love it, take ownership of it. Some fans will come with dozens and dozens of bears. But most importantly, it's a way to help spread support and love across the region in this holiday season. So that's great. Coming up Friday, December the 15th. There's some more games coming up that we would like to tell you about, including the holiday hockey game Wednesday, December the 27th against Toronto at 7 here at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. There'll be a Monsters swappable logo beanie giveaway courtesy of Castaway Bay to the first 5,000 fans, and that'll be a great way to kind of cap off the holiday season, a stretch in which the Monsters always have some of their biggest crowds of the season, so I'm so excited for these next three.
I think we definitely kicked off the holiday season with that unbelievable crowd on Black Friday.
Yeah.
That was so awesome. It was over 13,000, I want to say.
Yeah.
And I believe that it was the largest crowd since the 2018-2019 season. I mean, what a way to kick off the holidays.
Yeah, to drop the puck on the holidays,
Classic.
If you will. There you go.
Classic.
Love it. Kaylee, thanks. That is what's on the docket for the Monsters coming up. Big homestand against Belleville. One more quick break. We'll sneak it in here, and then we'll get to Kaylee's questions after this on the Monsters iView Podcast. Welcome back, everyone. One final segment, as always, on the Monsters Eye View podcast with Kaylee Lane. I'm Tony Brown, and this segment is all about you, Kaylee. It's Kaylee's questions, and you've got a pretty good one for today. I'm excited to see what you have. What do you have today?
Hot off the press, is a Pop-Tart considered a ravioli or a calzone?
It's a Pop-Tart. A ravioli or a calzone? You want my opinion?
Well, let's start with this.
Okay.
By definition.
First of all, great question.
Thank you. I want to get people thinking. And the guys at one point said we need more like thought-provoking questions. And I thought of this.
This is some heavy-hitting stuff.
I thought it was genius. Yeah. And so before we get into it, by definition, calzone, per Wikipedia,
okay,
which... You know,
it's a source,
questionable,
maybe not the source,
but it says a baked or fried turnover of pizza dough stuffed with various fillings, usually includes cheese.
Okay.
A ravioli definition is a type of pasta comprising a filling enveloped in thin pasta dough.
Okay.
And the definition of a Pop-Tart,
yeah,
is toast or pastries produced by Kellogg's, Kellanova, assuming Kellogg's,
okay,
since 1964, consisting of a sweet filling sealed inside two layers of thin rectangular pastry crust.
Okay. Yeah, that all adds up.
So what are your thoughts?
So I have some strong thoughts on this matter. I think that the one thing that distinguishes a ravioli, and it was right there in your definition, it's pasta. Okay, so the pocket is made out of pasta. Now, with a calzone, it's made out of pizza dough, I think you said there.
Yep.
And a Pop-Tart is made out of what, like pastry dough. So pastry dough, much more like pizza dough than it is pasta, in my opinion. So I'm going to say if you have to choose, that a Pop-Tart is clearly a calzone.
Okay. See, I was on Team Calzone, but I just got swayed about 5 minutes ago.
Oh, no.
By the simple fact that a ravioli is one piece of pasta on the bottom,
yeah,
one piece of pasta on the top, squished together with filling, and not folded over.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, so now you're thinking?
I'm going to stick with calzone, though, just because of you're baking it,
okay,
as opposed to boiling it.
Okay, no, I see that. I can't get over the thought of the two pieces put on top of each other.
But the construction of it, interesting.
Yeah, so... I genuinely feel like this could go either way, so I actually just asked the guys this question,
yeah,
not
well,
even
I'm
3 minutes
to
ago.
See what the boys have to say here.
Cameron Butler and I had a very lengthy conversation at two different points. He is 350% Team Ravioli.
Okay.
He was very adamant, but which I found interesting, he said raviolis on the inside normally consist of one ingredient. I am going against that. I disagree.
It's sometimes, but no, like you can have a ravioli with like ricotta and meat in there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so then he said, there's one thing, but then a Pop-Tart is simply just one filling. And I said, no, they have the hot fudge sundae Pop-Tarts.
Okay.
And so he and I were definitely debating that a bit.
But a calzone can have lots of different stuff in it.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
a buffalo chicken calzone. You can have a meatball calzone.
Throw some green peppers in there.
You can have steak and cheese calzone with some peppers.
The world is your calzone at this point.
The world is simply our calzone.
That's right.
And so a lot of the guys downstairs were kind of taken back at this question because I was told by Jake Godet to get more thought-provoking questions.
Well, you've done it.
And I see you and I can't even, I don't know what team I'm on right now, but Josh Dunn, I won't leak too much about this because I'm really excited to post this one. Josh Dunn, Team Calzone, but did look confused.
Okay.
Don't think he had enough time to process. Jack Greaves laughed at the question and just walked by. So I knew that he definitely thought about it, but I think this is definitely the best question I have ever asked in my two seasons here.
Well, that's good. That's great. And we're going to enjoy that. But you've got a whole lot more questions to come up with here.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think you've got room to top it. But this is a good one. Yeah, thought-provoking, a good debate to be had. That's what you want in one of these questions. And even after all of that, I'm staying Team Calzone.
Okay. I am Team Probably Ravioli Could Sway Me to Calzone.
Okay, well, there's two choices, and you're half in, half out on both. That's one way to play it. I love it. Kaylee's questions, good stuff. Kaylee, great job on the episode again. Final thoughts before we say so long on another edition of the podcast.
We look forward to seeing you guys come out to more games, and don't forget to follow us on social at Monsters Hockey.
Love it, and remember, on the 15th, that's this coming Friday, it's Teddy Bear Toss, so if you're going to come to the game, make sure you get your seats ahead of time, clevelandmonsters.com, and bring new and unwrapped plush toys. So not used, but new unwrapped plush toys. When the Monsters score their first goal, you throw them over the glass onto the ice. There'll be a delay. The players will help collect all of them, and each and every one of those toys is going to help make the holiday season a little brighter for a kid who needs it here in Northeast Ohio. So a great cause, a great night, and another great episode of the Monsters Eye View podcast. Kaylee, thanks for everything. That's Kaylee Lane. I'm Tony Brown. Thanks to you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the Monsters Eye View Podcast.